Welcome to What's the Law podcast by the team at Jackson's Law Firm. Jackson's is a full-service law firm based in the northeast of England, working for businesses and private individuals. We're here to chat about what's the law and how it affects various stages in your life. In this episode, the members of the Jackson's COVID-19 Task Force will talk about the journey into lockdown and the steps that they are taking as the lockdown is relaxed as people return to work. They will also talk about the lessons that have been learned along the way. Coronavirus has affected the way in which we record this podcast, and we're recording this episode of What's the Law remotely, so please be aware that the audio may not be the usual quality. Also bear in mind that we recorded the podcast on the afternoon of the 19th of June, 2020.
Hello, I'm Jane Armitage. I'm the managing partner of Jackson's Law Firm.
Hi, I'm Erica Turner. I'm a partner and head of commercial property at Jackson's Law Firm.
Hi, Toby Joel, a partner at Jackson's Law Firm.
Hi, I'm Tony Wentworth. I'm a partner at Jackson's and I work in the firm's corporate department.
Hi, I'm Matthew Rowlandson and I'm a solicitor in the employment team at Jackson's. When did Jackson's recognise that office life would change as a result of COVID-19? And when do you start making plans for change in working practices?
I think that we knew quite early in March that the world was going to go into difficult times and that it was going to affect the UK in a big way. And I can remember through the early parts of March that there was advice coming out from the government. We were writing plans as to what we would do. And then all of a sudden, the government would say something else and we'd amend those plans. We were also approached and talking to staff who had health concerns. We obviously have a number of people who have shielded and therefore we were working with them early on. As we were beginning to put all of those plans together, it was clear that we were going to have to deal with things in a very quick and efficient way because we're going to have to make very, very quick decisions. So we knew that we couldn't bring the whole of the partnership together every time we had to make a decision or even all the team leaders. So that is why we formed a committee and we agreed that that committee would meet every afternoon at 4 o'clock. It met primarily on Zoom, obviously, because lockdown suddenly sped up very quickly. The whole purpose of the committee was to make sure that we were doing everything that we needed to do, that we were making sure that everybody was safe and that we were thinking about what was going to happen and how we were going to proactively manage that situation to keep our business running.
And what exactly is the COVID Busters Committee and how was this established?
Effectively, it's four of the partners in the firm, myself, Jane, Toby and Erica. Before all of this happening, the way that the firm was managed was that on a sort of major strategic level, we had meetings of the full partnership and we would make decisions at that level. And then day-to-day implementation sat with Jane, who was the managing partner. When COVID situation came around, things, as Jane sort of mentioned, things were changing so quickly, sort of day by day, the government were making different announcements and developing their strategies and their advice, and we were literally having to react on a day-by-day basis, and that all became too onerous for Jane to sort of implement by herself. But things were changing too quickly to be able to convene meetings of the full partnership to decide what we're doing. So what we had to do was put together a committee of a smaller group of people, which on the one hand was small enough to be easy to convene and to be very agile and to react and to do things quickly, but on the other hand be large enough to be able to divvy up between us all of the responsibilities for the various tasks that we're having to implement because of COVID, because there was an awful lot to do. So I would say up until the big announcement on the 23rd of March when we went into lockdown, it was being dealt with primarily by Jane on a day-to-day basis with some assistance from the rest of us, but we were all in one building on one floor together so we could constantly talk with one another. When the 23rd of March announcement was made and we had to vacate the office, which we managed to do within the space of two working days, we weren't going to be together as a group anymore. We couldn't sort of communicate on an ongoing basis, we did. So as Jane has said, the first thing we did was put this committee of four people together so that we could, between us, start to consider and implement everything that needed to be done. And the first step we took, as Jane said, was to put together this Microsoft Teams group. I don't think any of us had ever heard of Microsoft Teams post pre 23rd of March, and it's that's how we've lived our lives for the 3 months since. So that's the history of it really, and that's how it came about. And in the early days, we virtually met on a daily basis and agreed implementation plans. And as things have settled down a little bit, we meet less regularly, but still at least once or twice a week to decide what we're going to do and who's going to do what. The first big task for the committee was to sort out the logistics of getting everybody home, and the sort of the main element of that was IT. There was a huge logistical IT exercise that fell primarily under the stewardship of Toby, because Toby had been in charge of IT up until that point. So that's probably a good point for you to pick up where we went post March 23rd, Toby, in terms of how we got everybody home and how we set them all up to carry on working.
Yeah, absolutely. We knew it was coming, and it happened. It didn't happen unexpectedly, but it happened very, very quickly. Throughout March, we'd been looking at staff who we could move out of the office and get working from home, and we found that they were mainly support staff. Logistically, it's a little bit more difficult to get a support staff out of the office and working from home. They don't have the laptop like the fee earners do. So what that meant was, with the assistance of our IT provider, Cornerstone, we were moving PCs, desktop PCs, to people's homes, getting them logged on to our network so they could work safely from home but still have full functionality through the software. We were going to use a system called Splashtop, which meant they would work off their home PCs if they didn't have if we couldn't get their Jackson's PCs to them, and log into their work PC. If we could get their home PC to them, sorry, their work PC to them, we were putting them on a VPN so they would dial into the office and work that way. We put 5 people out back home before lockdown. And then on the Monday of lockdown, we had all our plans in place, all our VPNs set up, everybody ready to leave the office as soon as the announcement came. And on the Tuesday, that was when we started moving more PCs out, more laptops out, and getting everybody working from home. We also had to do likewise on the telephone system, because obviously we didn't have a switchboard. So as a firm, we were still open, but an unmanned office, we needed calls to be diverted. So we had an off-site receptionist who was diverting calls through to landline numbers, which would ping onto mobile numbers. So staff were using their personal mobiles to pick up Jackson work calls. So we had it well planned, and the big test was probably the first Wednesday after lockdown, when everybody was logging on, everybody who'd left the office the day before. And there were definitely some teething troubles in terms of people not being able to get onto the VPN, not being able to get into certain software. But we had our IT supplier provider on standby all day, taking calls and logging onto machines. Wednesday was a tough one. Thursday it was quieting down, and by Friday of the first week in lockdown, we had a good core of people who had full access, and it was almost business as usual, apart from being away from the office. And people are now still working very, very comfortably at home on the software and the PCs which went home, and finding that they've adapted to it really, really well. I think we always felt that the fee earners would be able to manage, but obviously a fee earner relies on the admin support, the secretary, to do the typing and file opening. And there were certain aspects to working from home which at the start I just did not think would run as smoothly as they have done, in terms of carrying out ID checks for new clients, opening files. And what's happened, obviously, because we've adapted to it, and this will be spoken about, I'm sure, by Erica or Jane, we're moving into a new way of working now, where we're going to be doing a lot less printing, because we've learnt to save more of it on the Proclaim software system that we run. It's been a real wake-up call that we had all of this in terms of Microsoft Teams, Zoom, Skype, there at our fingertips, but we're very rarely using it or not using it at all because of the old ways of working.
I think the other thing that you have to we probably have to point out is that when we went down into lockdown, everybody thinks that the world sort of stopped at lockdown, and it didn't. We actually had quite a lot of completion set for the end of March, because the end of March is a really key date for many builders in terms of their financial year. And whilst we locked down before the end of March, we actually had to had a lot of clients who still wanted to go ahead with the purchase of properties. So actually, we had to run our full system, including completing clients' transactions and transferring money in the first week of lockdown. So it was a really interesting week, as everybody has said, but it is amazing what actually did happen.
I think it was one of those weeks where we were all absolutely pedaling like fury behind the scenes, but from the client experience, I think it was all pretty seamless and nothing really changed.
I think it was like that for a lot of the fee earners as well, not knowing all what was going on behind the scenes.
There was a few people who in those early days were finding it a couple of days a little bit more difficult, and I think that was it was sometimes it was down to home broadband speeds not being up to what was needed to run the software which we need to run. But we found a way around that with the assistance of Cornerstone by putting some different software on and getting those machines working. And I think one or two people probably found that they had lots of cabling running around their living rooms to get the PCs working properly. But we managed, and the clients won't have noticed. As far as the clients were concerned, we were still sat in the office because it was seamless in terms of the service we were delivering to the customer.
I think part of that probably is down to our ability to communicate with each other. So I think we recognised at an early stage, once lockdown had come into play, that we really needed to keep in touch with each other and keep in touch with our staff. So as Jane mentioned, towards the end of March, although we effectively had to close the office, we still needed to make sure we could get clients' transactions sorted out. So we still had to really allow for a skeleton staff to be in the office to deal with incoming posts, to deal with clients that might want to drop off documents, to deal with accounting transactions. That did result in some of the committee being on their hands and knees at some point, putting sticky labels on the floor and ensuring social distancing and ordering hand sanitizers, etc. But it seemed to work. And it meant that we could keep in touch with team leaders as well, so they could keep us abreast as to how well their team was performing, if they've got new work coming in, if there had been a downturn in work. And then that then allowed us to make decisions in terms of whether or not we needed to furlough any staff. That wasn't an easy decision to make, but at times, depending on how different departments were performing, it did feel like it was the best decision for the business. And certainly it was only intended to be a temporary measure. I suppose that brings us back to communication. So although we had furloughed some members of staff, it was really important for our HR manager to keep in touch with those furloughed members of staff. She has been persistently throughout telephoning them on a daily basis just to make sure that they're getting on okay, and she's updating them in terms of what's happening at Jackson's, how departments are performing. And then I suppose we embraced our IT skills as well, having then learned how to use things like Microsoft Teams and Zoom and things. We started probably, I think it was the first week during lockdown, wasn't it, that we started having a daily quiz for our staff. So that might be, for example, a name the place quiz or a name the dog breeds quiz. It was just something completely unrelated to work that all members of staff could join in with, including furloughed members of staff. And it was just a means of keeping in touch with each other and keeping everybody's motivation and momentum going. So I guess I would say we probably continue to operate effectively because of our ability to communicate.
Yeah, that first day, Erica, the first day of the quiz, I went out for a walk at lunchtime. So I was out the house at 1 o'clock and had the phone in my pocket, walking the dog. And the amount of pings on my phone, I thought, oh no, we've had an IT disaster. And I put my phone on, and it wasn't an IT disaster. It was multiple answers to Jane's lunchtime quiz.
You'd never been so popular.
Breathed a huge sigh of relief. But yeah,
I think we moved the answering onto Teams after that, didn't we? Because we just gridlocked the internet email box.
Yeah. I think everyone was very keen to get the prizes that were being offered.
They were.
Yeah. The good thing about lockdown is we haven't had to give the prizes out yet, though, have we?
That's true.
I'm sure whoever won remembers.
Yeah, I'm sure they do.
But I mean, the lunchtime quiz was, I mean, it was good. You know, just to see the answers, although I didn't take part a great deal, but just to see what answers people were coming out with, it was funny. It broke the day up.
I think it just reminded us that our staff are really funny.
Yeah.
I mean, because sometimes they would send you an email and you would just laugh out loud. And I think that that's part of being in an office, is that there's a bit of banter and there's a, you know, bit of chat, and that's what you don't get when you're working at home. So I think whilst there were more formal communications later in the day about what was happening to keep everybody abreast of different changes and things, I think just having a bit of banter together was really important. And I know that some teams did start having like their Friday breakfast bacon sandwich and things, but we had to stop those because people were just getting jealous of some people who had better catering facilities than others. So, yeah, it's really, really important when you're all working separately that you all still feel like a group of people who care about each other and are there for each other and are just enjoying each other's company. I think there's so much more to the remote working than just work.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, in a team environment, normally you've got your junior members of staff that might just pop round the corner and ask you a quick question or ask you for feedback on an amendment to a document. And I think it was really difficult for them to cope during this transition because no longer did they have the ability to just nip round the corner and ask a question. Whereas use of Microsoft Teams allowed us to effectively still have a face-to-face meeting, still chat about documents and allow them to get on with work. And they felt like they still had a support network there. And it was also good for clients because it meant that their transactions were not being held up just because somebody was looking for assistance on a job. So, yeah, IT was great and our ability to communicate was great throughout.
And then, of course, we start getting to that point, don't we, of discussions about what's going to happen towards the end of lockdown. When might we be allowed to come back to the office? When we can come back to the office, what's the office going to look like? You know, Jane, Tony and Erica, fantastic getting the office ready for the staff to be allowed to return. And it's an office which it's really lent itself to the social distancing, what we've done in terms of, you know, screens, moved desks, created wider walkways, and that was a lot of planning. That was just as much planning, I think, probably a bit more planning actually than getting us out of the office, because getting us out of the office, it was just a question of pick it up and leg it.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think the return bit is more complicated, and my recollection, because it seems, I don't know, the whole of lockdown seems like it's gone on for about 12 months, actually, hasn't it? Even though it hasn't, because it's been such an intense period. But my recollection is that we decided, having fought for the last dongles that were left in the whole of the UK on the way out, that we were going to be ready on the way back. So we were trying to anticipate way before lockdown was going to be eased what we might need. So it was, I know that Amy, our accounts manager, was continually sending emails going, oh, I found some wet wipes, or I found hand sanitizer, or I found something else. And we ordered screenage and things way before we knew that we were going to need it, because we thought it would become in short supply when we did need it. But we were looking, when we had our first partners meeting on Teams, once we'd managed to get all the partners onto Teams, obviously, because that was an IT challenge in itself, then I can remember us discussing, well, what will it look like if lockdown ends in the middle of May? Or what worst case scenario might it look like if lockdown doesn't end till the end of May? I mean, I don't think any of us envisaged, even halfway through this, that lockdown would still be partly in place at the end of June. So it's a much, much longer period than I suppose we anticipated when we went into it. And perhaps that's a good thing, because perhaps it would have been too scary if we'd known.
And what plans have been put in place to deal with any issues that may arise now that lockdown is being relaxed?
Well, I suppose that Jackson's is really lucky because we have our own health and safety consultant. So having got all of our screens and things together, our first set of screens, which were for meeting rooms and reception and things, then we had a health and safety consultant go round both buildings and write a health and safety risk assessment for people gradually returning. Then we are now adapting that as government advice changes. So every so often they say, oh, it's been discovered that, and you have to think about something new. A lot of the stuff that you have to think about is really, really practical, but you actually practically need to walk yourself through the office to do it. So how do you make sure there's only one person in the kitchen? How do you make sure the kettle gets cleaned? How do you make sure the post comes in? How do you make sure that you know exactly who has been in the office and when? Tony acquired a 2 meter stick so that we could not beat people with it, but literally we could measure 2 meters everywhere, because it was just, that's like the magic number at the moment. And can you see these people 2 meters away from each other? And we had quite a lot of screening in the office anyway, but it was clear that you need screening not just to meet government guidelines, but to make people feel safe. So in the Stockton office, which is more open plan than Newcastle and people sit a lot facing each other, there was some partial screening, but we felt that it wasn't enough to make people feel really safe. And we've put Perspex screening above that just so that it gives that extra layer of confidence for people. And if they're sitting facing someone, there is a double screen for them. And I think that there's a lot of issues to returning that there weren't in lockdown, because in lockdown you just have to literally, as Toby said, get everybody out. Whereas coming back to work, you've got to work out who can come back to work on a part-time basis, because we can't socially distance with everybody in the office all the time at the moment. Who is comfortable to come back, because we don't want to make anyone come back who doesn't want to. Who shouldn't come back for health reasons or family health reasons. And so there's a lot more factors to take into account. I think we're lucky because everybody is working so well from home that we don't need to worry about that so much. We can say you don't have to come back if you're not comfortable coming back. You can work from home as long as you can do your job properly. But if you want to come into the office on the odd afternoon to scan some documents or to pick something up, then you can do that as well. But we were having to sort of think about, well, how do we control that? Because does everybody decide, oh, Wednesday afternoon, I think I'll go to the office, and then suddenly we've got a crowd of people. So there's been a lot of communications about letting people know before you go to the office, making sure we're controlling numbers, making sure we're testing our risk assessment all the time to check that it works and it's working as more people are in the office. So, yeah, I think definitely returning is more of a logistical exercise than leaving.
I think from the meeting point of view as well, moving forward, we can probably still have client meetings virtually rather than face-to-face. Quite often we're dealing with busy clients, busy individuals, and they don't necessarily want to take an hour out of their day travelling to the office for a face-to-face meeting when they can sit in their office, pick up their laptop and have a face-to-face meeting with us virtually. So I think that'll be something that changes moving forward as well. And actually, just this week, we've branched out into virtual networking. There's a whole new world out there. We've just held our first TSAT networking event this week, and there was about 50 participants involved in that. So it just goes to show there's an appetite out there as well for virtual networking. And we held a virtual lockdown boardroom lunch where we had lunch delivered to a number of guests, and we had an hour's chat with them over lunch. So I think there are definitely networking opportunities that will change moving forward, and also meetings.
But both of those events worked really, really well. And I think people are generally getting, as I said earlier, I'd never heard of Zoom or Microsoft Teams 4 months ago, but it's become part of our daily lives now, and it's become part of everybody else's daily lives. And whereas to start with, it was a bit awkward and stilted, people are getting a lot more comfortable with it. And the two events that you talked about there, they worked really, really well, and they flowed really well. And given that we can't meet face to face and we have to do something to keep talking to each other, to keep communicating with each other, they were great events.
I think there were other benefits to doing those as well. I mean, Jane had mentioned that even during lockdown, it was important for us to still be relying on local businesses. So we were still able to use local caterers, for example, to do our lockdown boardroom lunch. So there's something else we can take away from that.
So to finish with, what have the members of the COVID committee missed the most, and what are you looking forward to once the pandemic is finally over?
I would say I have missed the buzz of the office. Although we've taken steps to keep in touch with each other when we've been working from home, it really isn't the same as having a team of people around you or having, you know, your friends around you as well. It really feels like there is a vibe in the office when you're working with other people. And I think that really helps with your motivation sometimes as well. So I'm really looking forward to getting back in the office to have a physical presence with other people.
I would say the same. Yeah, it's the people. And we've talked about how well Zoom meetings and things work, but it's never going to be quite the same as being sat next to somebody and sat amongst people, and you can just chat things through and talk things through. I've been coming at the office all the way through, and in the early days, there were only three of us coming at the office, and it is a bit sort of a dispiriting and disheartening when you're rattling around in a huge building and there are only three of you. And as we've started to get more and more people back in the office over recent weeks, on Monday this week we upped the number of people who are allowed to come into the office, and there were about 20 in. And as soon as you walked through the door, it was just a different level of atmosphere again, just having another 10 bodies in the office than we'd had in the week before. And yeah, people, we all like being with people, don't we?
It's definitely getting like that. I mean, even where I'm sitting at the moment, I can see the clients coming into the reception area to sign the documents and have the documents collected. And cars moving in and out of the car park, it's starting to get back to what it was like. And as Erica and Tony have both said, it is such a nice office, and it is such a pleasant workforce that you want them all back as quickly as possible, because the buzz and the banter, you do miss it. And you know, you do miss just sitting in a very quiet office with no phones ringing, and you know, even the noise of photocopying, you don't get that. It's just so silent.
I think you're all being much more serious. I thought the question was, what are you really missing? And I was expecting at least Tony and Toby to say they're missing Greggs, because obviously
I was going to say that, because that's absolutely genuine.
It's got Greggs and corporate golf days, I was going to say.
And in fact, Jim, when you popped down to see me at lunchtime, I was in Morrison's buying cross-cut chips and chicken nuggets. Yeah. Because Greggs is shut.
Mm. But if you go a quarter of a mile down the road, Couplands is open now. You can get your pasty.
Oh, good. Monday.
Oh, well, that's a useful tip for the whole business community, isn't it? So, yeah, no, I think everybody's missing people. I have to say that I'm really... Having Zoom meetings and things is all very good, but actually meeting a client or walking through the TS18 and talking to one person after another... and so just generally face-to-face contact with people, I think, is what we're all missing in our business and our personal life. I mean, I know that, you know, I haven't seen my children or my parents or anything since lockdown began, and that's something that I miss massively, nearly as much as I miss the hairdresser and, you know, going for a drink with you at the weekend or something. But yeah, I think life has been a bit soulless in the sense of real engagement with people, and I think that's what most of us get our sort of buzz in life out of, is the engagement we have with people. So hopefully we will, you know, be released from lockdown shortly.
Thank you for listening to this episode of What's the Law podcast by Jackson's Law Firm. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please leave us a review on your favourite podcasting app. Share this podcast, find us on social media, and use the hashtag What's the Law Pod. You can even visit our website, jacksons-law.com, to find out more. We hope you join us again for another episode of What's the Law in the Future.